All right. Luke chapter 9, verses 21 and 22, our opening verses. But he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. That was exciting news he had to share. Very exciting news. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm fighting through a heaviness. And I don't think I'm the only one that feels it. And Lord, I know it's not you, for your yoke is easy. But Lord, I also know that spiritual battles are fought in spiritual places. And so, Father, right now, I come before you as the shepherd of a flock, not knowing exactly what the battle is, but knowing I feel the heaviness of the battle. And Lord, I don't want to sweep it under the rug or act like it's not there, because it's too thick and tangible to me for me to pretend like it doesn't exist. But I know how to fight these battles, God. For your word says I'm more than a conqueror. That I've been made an overcomer. That we've been made overcomers. So God, we're going to overcome it today. Whatever it is. Well, whatever it is, we're going to overcome it today. Because we don't quit. Because we are not of those that shrink back. Your word says, we are not of those that shrink back. We're those that stand up. We'll hit our knees in front of you and we'll pray and we'll lift it up before you, God. But when needed, we'll stand up and fight. And so, Father, right now, God, give me the anointing to fight. Give me the anointing upon the words that are going to come from my mouth that will help whoever to fight whatever. That, Lord, these words, whether they're heard today or whether they're listened to later on the recording on the website, that they will be words that will be fighting words and that will help whoever fight whatever. That, Father, I know there are spiritual forces. And I know some of them are good and some of them are not. And, Lord, I also know that even my enemy doesn't mind going to church. Father, help us. Lord God, anoint eye, ear, heart, and mind in this place, Lord, that we could fight this spiritual battle today in this place. And that, God, when we leave here, oh, Lord, your mighty men of valor, your warriors, God, your men and women anointed and blessed and called, Lord, to help others fight each other's battles. Lord, that we would help each other carry each other's burdens, God. That we would know the fight is not ours to fight alone. And I'm pressing through the heaviness, and I'm pressing through what I feel. I'm pressing on towards the goal, God, set before me. Fight, God. Thank you, Lord. God, anoint this place. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Fill this place, God. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay. Jesus. Amen. Brand new day. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Let it be a memory. Let it not even be a memory. Yeah. That's good. That's good. So I'm not the only one that feels it. Okay. That's good to know. That's good to know. It's weird. It's just like a blanket. That's just, I don't know. Anybody ever had a weighted blanket? You ever used a weighted blanket? Love it? No, thank you. I'm good. I'm good. I remember at a point with Tammy's dad that he was, I'll never forget, he was getting up and getting around more than he needed to and was starting to have some stumbling and falling problems. And Tammy ordered a weighted blanket. And it was so heavy when she put it on him that he couldn't get it off of him, right? And so he was sitting in his chair and they put that on him and he just kind of sat there. And I remember he's like, can you get this off of me now? Like 20 pounds. Yeah, it was a heavy blanket. It's a heavy, heavy blanket. And that's kind of what it feels like. And it's just, it's an odd feeling. I mean, I felt it before. But I'm just letting you know, if it has something to do with you, man, just know that you're not fighting through that alone, because there are others of us that feel whatever that is and that we're fighting through it with you. Boy, it's not my favorite feeling in the world, but if I'm feeling this, I can't imagine what whoever it is feeling. So, Lord, you're good. So we're going to look at there's three different times in the scripture, in the New Testament, and actually in the four Gospels, three different times that Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to suffer and die, be crucified. He's going to face death. Let's see, how did he describe it? Suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And we're not going to focus on that third day part. We're going to focus on the fact that Jesus shared with his disciples the fact of all of the things he was going to suffer, right? And knowing what I know about the disciples and how they felt and what they thought about Jesus. Whoa. Yeah, that banner. Look at those two, okay? Ignore that one's not there right now. Knowing what I know about how the disciples felt about Jesus, I know that when he started talking to them about how he was going to suffer and all that was going to happen to him, that it was difficult. But yet, he still shared with them the fact that it was coming. Because, you know what? It was coming. And we need to know, and that's the title of the message today, is it's coming. It's coming. Because I believe that my God tries really desperately, really hard to prepare us for things that are coming. I believe that part of the job of the Spirit is to help prepare us for things that are coming. And that if we were, let me say it this way, if I were better at recognizing that voice, that I could miss a lot of things that come. I could sidestep a lot of things. I could jump over them. I could be better prepared for the things that are coming if I were a little better at listening to the Spirit. But too often, I just kind of shove it aside and think, well, that's just me. Or I think, well, that's for somebody else. Or surely not. I convince myself that it's not actually the thing that it's actually telling me. And we see that first moment with Jesus, we see, if you read more of the story, if you go and read a few verses back, this is exactly right after the 5,000 are fed. Miraculously, 5,000, if you study and if you believe what scholars, some biblical scholars say, when it says 5,000, what that actually means was 5,000 men. It doesn't count the women and children that were there, because with Jewish tradition, they counted the men. They didn't worry as much about counting the women and the children. It's not me. It's not my tradition. It's just what they did, okay? Don't look at me that way, ladies. It's not my fault. Okay. So it was 5,000, we'll say 5,000 plus people that were fed miraculously in this moment, okay? So can you imagine how they were feeling after this moment? After they just saw Jesus feed these 5,000 plus people, there has to be a buzz, right? There has to be an excitement. I don't know about you, those of you that were around for the haircut event this year, we had like 80-some people come through, 80-some kids get their haircut that day. For me, there was a buzz. There was an excitement. There was this, I remember Liz's mom was there from Missouri, and she had the biggest smile on her face. There was just this buzz that was there because of what God was doing in that moment. And so imagine in that moment, we get through that event, and my next statement to you is, hey guys, I'm going to die. Yay! Thanks, Pastor. Thanks for keeping us excited. Thanks for keeping us, you know, joyful. Like, wow, what a killjoy in that moment. To go from that, oh my word, look what God just did, to this next moment where Jesus says, that was really cool, but hey, just want you to know, I'm going to suffer and die. And it's not just going to be that I'm going to suffer and die, but I'm going to suffer and die at the hands of, who do you call it? What do you say? By the rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes. All of the religious leaders are going to do this to me. It seems like a really odd time for him to say something to them about it. But yet, maybe it was the right time, because whether they were more attentive or less attentive, I trust God's timing enough to believe that it was the right time. I love how he was like boosting the morale and keeping the excitement going. Hey guys, great job. Hey, just wanted you to know, I'm going to suffer and die. So do we just go home now, or what do we do? Like, do we quit? Do we give up? How am I supposed to respond? How are they supposed to respond to this? What are they supposed to say? I don't have a clue, because I'm not sure how I respond to it. I don't know how I respond to that when my leader, who just led us through this miraculous, amazing moment, says, oh yeah, guys, by the way, I'm going to suffer and die. Religious leaders are going to kill me, and I'm going to suffer and die. Go to verses 43 and 45, 43 through 45 of the same chapter of Luke chapter 9. It says, and they were all amazed at the greatness of God, but while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand the statement, and it was concealed from them so that they would not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about the statement. Yeah, I can understand. Why would you ask him about that? Lord, could you be a little more specific? Could you explain to me exactly what it is? Could you tell me how you're going to die? Could you tell me, you know, give me... I'm... You know what? I have, we'll say, just enough, we'll call it redneck. I have just enough redneck in me to want to ask questions and want him to name names. Could you name the scribes? Could you give me the list of elders? Could you tell me all the religious people that are going to come after you? Because I know some guys. I know a couple of people who can, maybe influence their decisions. Right? I know some people who I could make a couple phone calls to and, give an offering, we'll say, to be spiritual. I could give them an offering, and those scribes and priests and all those religious guys, might suddenly need to relocate, find someplace else to be. There's just enough in me that when it's my Jesus, when it's my Lord, when it's this man who I've watched, this is another moment. If you go back to 43, you see that this was another moment where something amazing. They were all amazed at the greatness of God, but while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, Jesus just did something else. And right after he did that, he says, "Oh, hey, Wes, by the way, yeah, it's true. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. There's something going to happen to me." It's just amazing. He finds these moments continually where you would think like they're in the middle of good news. Maybe he's trying to let them experience good news before he delivers bad news. I don't know. Maybe that's what it was. Because if somebody says to you, "Hey, do you want the good news or the bad news first?" We probably got 50-50 here. Some of you are going to be good news. I want the good news first. Some of you are going to be, just go ahead and give me the bad news. I'm probably a bad news first guy, to be honest. Like, give me the worst scenario. Because then I can find joy in the next one. I don't know. I'm probably more the bad news first guy. But he lets them experience this moment where everything's great and everything's amazing, and they're amazed at what just happened, and they've just watched. Here's what they had just watched. They're on the mount, and Elijah and Moses have just shown up to them. And they've just had this moment where Elijah and Moses show up, two well-known biblical figures from what we call the Old Testament, what they called the Book of the Law, right? These two titans of the faith have just shown up and associated Jesus with them. And so they're in this amazed moment when Jesus says, "Oh, hey, by the way, yeah, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. It's coming." That's what he's telling them. It's coming. He's trying to prepare them for this moment that's going to be a terrible moment. Like, it's going to be a really bad moment for them. It's going to be a bad moment for Jesus, no question. He gets the worst end of the deal, no doubt. But it's going to be a really bad moment for them too, because they're following this man. They're giving their life to this man. They're telling other people about this man. And they think he's going to do all of these amazing things for the rest of their lives. And they think this Jesus that they're there with, that this guy is going to completely change the world. And they get to have a front row seat. They get to sit in the co-pilot seat and watch all of it happen. And that's what they're thinking when Elijah and Moses show up in this moment. I love this moment because it changed for the disciples. It truly changed how the disciples saw Jesus. That's what the transfiguration was about. It was about changing how these men really saw Jesus. He was transfigured before them and associated with Moses and Elijah in this moment. And so it's in that he says, "Oh, hey, by the way, I am going to suffer." And then there's like a cherry on top. Like there's an extra layer on top, because after Moses and Elijah show up, the cherry on top of it is there's a voice from heaven that says, "This is my son." And that's what just happened before he says, I'm going to die. It's this moment. You see, it's so conflicting. It's so different because their emotions are so high. Their emotions are they're so high from watching what just happened with Jesus, for him to turn around and just say, like, he like almost pulls the rug out from under them, you know, because they're excited and they're joyful, and then woof, here it goes. Oh yeah, I'm gonna die. And then go with me to Luke chapter 18. That's common. He took the 12 aside, and he said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. I'm going to stop right there. It's the last time that Jesus speaks about his death in this way to the disciples. He said other things to them at different times, but these are the three main times that he got more specific about what was going to happen to him. And they could not say that they had not been warned. They couldn't say they hadn't been told. It's almost as if they were children. And this was 1, 2, 3. It's almost as if they were the ones who needed to be told. And he's trying so desperately to get this through to them, because he wants them to be prepared. God does not want us to be unprepared. He doesn't want us to be unprepared. Because many of us don't handle things well when we're ill-prepared for what's coming. Some of us have a tendency to freeze. Like, just freeze. We don't know which way to go, so we're just going to be still. He's not here, so I can tell the story. So my youngest son, Josh, when he was young, he was going through his phase of robbers. I don't know if all boys go through this phase, but he was going through his robber phase. Talking about robbers, thinking about robbers, worried about robbers. Robbers going to come in the house. Robbers going to do this. Robbers going to do that. Right? And I remember, I'm mean. I left the house one day. We were living here in town, and I leave the house, and Josh is in the living room over on Marshall Street, and he's playing a video game, okay? And so he's got the controller in his hand. He's standing right in front of the TV, and he's playing his video game. And I say, hey, I'm leaving. I'm going. Okay, Dad, whatever. You know, he's not paying attention. He didn't care. So I leave, and I forget something. So I pull back in the driveway. That's so mean. And I see through the window. I can see he's standing there. He's still just like in a video game. And I quietly open the storm door, and I grab the doorknob, and I shake the fire out of that thing, and then push the door open really quickly. And I will never forget Josh going, look, Dad, you scared me. Never, ever forget the look on that boy's face. So mean. It was so funny, though. God doesn't want us to be caught by surprise. He doesn't want us to be caught off guard, because some of us do that. Some of us don't know which way to go. And some of us are good in a crisis. Like, some of us are really good in a crisis, and we respond well. But not all of us. Some of us, when stuff really goes sideways, some of us freeze and some of us fold. And there were going to be some of the disciples that were going to do this. And if you keep reading the scripture and you see when they arrest Jesus and when they take him into and they start to go through the trial and they start to go through all those things, you see the disciples just scatter. But he had tried to tell them that it was coming. He had tried to tell them desperately that it was coming. He tried three different times in three different ways to get through to them that it was coming. Let me tell you about a time just a few years ago here in this church. Some of you might remember, most of you probably weren't here. Sister Elizabeth Aguirre, who is in Kentucky, she's from Mexico, and she was here when we first got here to Hosanna. Love her, miss her. I don't know, it's a close call as to whether I miss her tamales or Elizabeth. I don't know. It's really close. I miss them both equally, not quite equally. Probably miss Elizabeth more because she stood in that second row, and man, that lady would get it during worship. Clap and sing, and oh man, it was beautiful. But her second son, from the oldest, Horatio, who a lot of us called Lacho, that was his nickname, he was Lacho. I'll never forget one Sunday morning in the service, Lacho had something on his heart, and he came forward and he talked about 2 years of hard times. He said, there are 2 years of hard times coming. And I think a lot of people missed it because it was Lacho. And Lacho could be a little crazy, okay? One of these days I'll tell some of you a story about camp. I won't tell it here right now. But our boys remember it well, I can promise you. But he came up and he talked about 2 years of hard times. And can I tell you? There were two good years of hard times. 2 years of not a lot of growth. 2 years of not a lot of change. 2 years of some really difficult things. And really difficult things that most people didn't know about. Should be honest here, okay? If I'm nothing else, I want to be honest with you. And in the last 2 years, I have thought many, many times about that morning with Lacho. Because I knew that God had said 2 years of hard times. And I remember Brother Bill wasn't convinced. We had some conversations about it, but I can tell you that it was 2 years of hard times. And today is not a good day to say that things have turned because of the number of people that are out sick and missing today. But I can tell you that there were days in the last 2 years that even a crowd this size, many of us would have given great thanks to God for. Because there were just a handful. Roberts led worship through many of those. Liz is sang on the worship team through many of those. I'm grateful that God wants to prepare us for those things. Because Jesus said more than once that hard times would come. They just do, right? But here's what I want you to remember. Yeah. Verse 33. And the third day? And the third day? And the third day, he will rise again. That's not a maybe. That's not an if. That's not even a hopeful or it could happen. That is, on the third day, he will rise again. Some of us need to know that hard times end, that hard times stop at some point, and that God has been preparing you or tried to prepare you for the hard time that maybe you've been going through, maybe you're in the middle of, maybe you're just on the outside of it. I don't know. I've had this message in my heart for over a week. I've been thinking about these three times where Jesus talked about his death. I've been thinking about these for well over a week. And when I put it all down in the iPad, I just saw that there, and maybe that's part of the heaviness. Maybe that's why the heaviness is here, because there are so many people that have been, are, or maybe even this is a moment for somebody where it's God saying, you're about to go through a hard time. I don't know what it is. I'm not prophesying. I'm not proclaiming. But I'm telling you that God has never wanted us to be unprepared. And that's why he's given his word. Jesus didn't want the disciples to be unprepared because he knew how difficult it was going to be. God knows how difficult your circumstance might be, whether it's been, is, or was, or is about to be. He knows how difficult. He was tempted in every way that we've been tempted. He faced every kind of thing that we faced. I mean, obviously they didn't have, you know, the same kind of tablets and the same kind of, you know, they didn't have cell phones and Facebook and all that nonsense. I kind of sometimes wish we didn't too, but I just know, that when I read this, that there was something in it that spoke into my heart and said that God has tried to prepare us for the hard times. He did in that moment with Lacho. He prepared me for moments of hard times. And I wish there are people that I know in ministry that today, that I wish they had been better prepared for the hard time that was coming for them, because they gave up too soon. They gave up way too quickly, because it was so hard. But I believe with all of my heart that God has been with us the entire way, and that the best way to get through a hard time is to hang on. The best way to get through a hard time is sometimes through gritted teeth and white knuckles and prayer, maybe some fasting. Maybe not fasting, because that makes it go slower. But just that, I just know. I know that when I see these stories and I see the disciples, I know the love that Jesus had for them, and that's why he shared with them about what was coming. Not because he didn't care, but he wanted them to be prepared. And there's so many times in my life and so many times in ministry. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now that I am living through a moment where I firmly believe that God has been preparing me for every moment that's coming. And that I have made decisions in the last few weeks without even knowing that I was doing the right thing, but find out later that what I did was the right thing. And I'll give you the most simple, easy, seemingly mundane example. When the district sent me a copy of the bylaws, they sent me what was basically a template and with a lot of their suggestions. And my first response was, take that, send it to Jeremiah. We have a lawyer in the church. Why not use the lawyer in the church who said, hey, pastor, use me, okay? So I just said, you've sat on boards, you're a member of boards, you've done all these things. Take this, look at it with your legal eyes, because I don't have legal eyes. I'm not even fully legally, my vision's getting worse all the time, so I don't even know if I have legally blind yet or not, but I know that that he has a legal mind and he sees things through a legal perspective. And so I just took it, sent it to him and said, hey, look over this. Make any suggestions you want. And we'll meet and go over it. Okay? And then I sat down and actually started reading through the bylaws. And the very top under the heading was this in red type. It said, please send this or please go through this with a local attorney and make any adjustments. And I went, I didn't even know they wanted me to send it to an attorney, and I already sent it to an attorney. And just one of those moments that I'm just like, I just knew that I needed to do that, and then find out later that, oh yeah, hey, I actually really needed to do that. And can I tell you that when we just finished them this last week, and I emailed them to one of the district, or to multiple district officials, and the response that I got was, great job. We'll go through these, send them through the executive presbytery, and let you know. But wow, again, great job. I didn't do it. Jeremiah did it. But it's little moments like that through this process that I know that God has been preparing me for this process. He's preparing you for whatever process, whatever thing that you're going to go through, or you were prepared, or he tried to prepare you for whatever it was that you were going to go through. We have got to get our ears better attuned to that spirit that will help us to avoid and to miss and to go the right direction and not the wrong direction, to enter in through the narrow gate and not try to go the wide way, which is it's the easy way, right? The wide way is the easy way. The narrow way is more difficult. Narrow's hard, but that's the right way. It is the narrow way. You see, he's tried to prepare us. He's tried to prepare us. And some of us were more ready than others. And so the way I want to end this message is not asking you about the process, not asking about the situation. Maybe you just went through it and you give thanks. Maybe that heaviness was you in some way. Maybe you know that that heaviness was not entirely, but was in part you. Because you're trying to walk through something and you've not really involving the Lord in it like you probably know you should. Maybe you're saying something like, I got this. I got this. I can do this. I can handle this. I can handle this. Here's the thing. What if you didn't have to handle this? What if you didn't have to have it all on your shoulders? What if you didn't have to bury or to bear the full burden of whatever it was? What if you could have a God, a Savior, a Lord who would help carry that load, that weight? He's there. He's right there. And I believe he's been trying. And I don't know how many times he's tried, but I believe he's been trying to make sure you were ready for whatever it is. So, I'm going to pray. And I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to do that today. I just made that decision. I almost did. I'm going to pray. And if this is you, if you're in the middle of something, or you know something is potentially on the way, you already know it's coming. You already know, you already believe in your heart it's coming, or you're firmly in the middle of it. When I'm praying, I want you to stand and I want you to pray your own prayer. As I'm praying for you, you pray. My Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask for it. If you need a group of people to be with you in the midst of what you're going through, man, this is a great place with great people who would be more than happy to share those burdens and to help carry that load. Three times he tried to tell him it's coming. Some of you didn't listen and got blindsided by whatever it was. But today, if it's not come yet, you're not going to be blindsided. If this is you as I'm praying, stand, lift up your voice. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you that you warn us. I thank you, God, that you try your best through the guiding, through the word, through the power of your Spirit to prepare us for the things that are coming or the things, Lord, that we're in the midst of. Lord, you've tried to prepare us. Lord, and I pray that if we have not been prepared, that from this day forward, if we're in the middle of it, God, if we're in the middle of financial crisis, if we're in the middle of marital crisis, if we're in the middle, God, of spiritual crisis, if we're in the middle, God, of whatever it is, and Lord, we're so desperately, we've so desperately prayed and asked God, why, God, that you will remind us of the moments that you tried to make us ready. And from that day forward, God, that we will be prepared because your Spirit will speak to us. And our ears will be attentive to the Spirit, and we will hear and we will know and we will see and we will be ready, God, knowing it's coming. And God, from this day forward, we will be prepared. We will tune our ear to your Spirit, God. Lord, anybody in this place, Lord, I'm not even going to open my eyes. Anybody in this place that is on their feet, God, I pray right now for an anointing to fall upon them. Lord, an anointing to fall upon them, that their ears will be open to your Spirit, that their eyes will be open to your Spirit, that their heart and their soul will be open to your Spirit, God, and you will help them and guide them and speak to them in the right time, at the right place, with the right words, God, and that they will be ready for the battle that comes by your Spirit, God. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've never left us, you've never forsaken us, God, and you've always tried to prepare us for the things that are coming, Lord. Help us to be more ready for those fights. Help us to be more ready. God, even help us to be attentive to the fights of others that we can join in and help carry where we need to carry, Lord. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Lift the weight of the blanket of the heaviness off of this place and off of your people, God. That we could be free. Free from bondage. Oh God, for the whom the sun sets free is free indeed, God. But let there be freedom in this place. Oh my God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for love and kindness, God. That you prepare the way for us, God. And I ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen.
Amen. Church, thank you for being here today. Thank you for your love and support, your kindness, your faithfulness. Ladies, Mexico Joe's, 12:30, chips and salsa. Hey. I may have to change where I'm going. I don't know.